We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's hashtag third hour with Tobin, Leroy, and Beast. With Robbie the Degenerate.
Hashtag third hour. Robbie giving you your next clue. Do you know this one, Leroy?
Too much metal.
Too much metal.
Yeah.
This is For Whom the Bell Tolls, Metallica.
Toll. Oh, yeah. No chance.
No shot?
You said Metallica. No chance.
I would have figured they play Metallica in the locker room.
The only Def Leppard, because that was the guy with the one arm, right? Yeah. And I remember seeing that movie, and I was like, oh, like, I like. And Ozzy Osbourne. Know why? Guitar Hero. Other than that, I'm out.
Out?
I'm out on the metal.
Well, toll is your word. That is your code word for this hour. T-O-L-L. Text that to 72881, and you are registered. If you don't win this time, you'll have another chance at the top of next hour. It's a national contest. Message and data rates may apply. Don't text and drive. It's brought to you by Anna John Levine. Accident attorneys, call 1-800-747-FREE. Let's go out to the Orion Fuels and Downstairs Convenience Stores guest line. Truly steps beyond convenient. You guys don't want to miss Deontay Wilder taking on Dominic Brazil for the heavyweight world title live this Saturday, 9 o'clock on Showtime. Go to Showtime.com today, and you guys can start your free trial. So they're offering you this up, a little freebie this weekend. We will talk to the CEO of Mayweather Promotions right now, Leonard Ellerbe. Leonard, thanks for the time, man. Really appreciate it.
Hey, what's going on, man?
Hey, it's good to have you on, man. Much appreciated for you you popping on with us. This is the interesting thing with this fight, Leonard. So I felt really bad for Deontay with the lead up to this fight, because obviously everybody wanted to see him take on either Tyson or Anthony Joshua, and I felt like those guys kind of left him out in the cold for this one. So he's getting a personal matchup against Dominic Brazil. I feel like he's coming at it with a lot of anger, and he's going to try and make a statement at this one. How do you see the lead up to this fight going?
It's been a terrific lead up. This is kind of like a grudge match. A lot has carried on from last year when these two guys fought on the same card. There was a brawl that ensued at the hotel. Family members involved. Lots of trash talking. Lawsuits. The whole nine. This Saturday will be a very, very entertaining fight. I expect the fight to end in a knockout, and it'll probably end in a brutal knockout. These are two guys that truly don't like each other, and that's going to create nothing but excitement.
What do you think about Deontay Wilder's power? We've been having some debate on the show today about heavyweights with the most power of all time. I mean, he like half hits people, Leonard, and he puts them on the canvas. What he did to Tyson Fury that last fight was stupid. With knocking him dead like that, do you think that if I had to pin you down, Tyson, Mike Tyson, Deontay Wilder, who do you think's got more power?
Well, I mean, you can't really say. I mean, both from different eras and both punch differently. Mike can punch with either hand. Deontay has been knocking everybody out with the right hand. He also has a very good left hook. So you can't really say. Two different fighters, two different eras, you know, but both are tremendous punchers.
We're talking to Leonard Ellerbe, CEO of Mayweather Promotions. So, Leonard, can I get your perspective on this when it comes to making fights? So,
sure.
Obviously, Deontay, you know, he has been trying to get a fight with Anthony Joshua or get that rematch with Tyson Fury. You have been the figurehead of the biggest star in boxing, Floyd Mayweather. Everybody comes for Floyd Mayweather to try and get a big fight. How do you guys deal with being in that position, knowing that everybody wants to come after you guys and get a fight with Floyd? And how does it ultimately come down to Floyd picking the guy that he wants to pick at the right time?
Well, we've always had the same mindset of making the biggest fights that are possible for Floyd's career and for the fans. And that's, you know, that's kind of been our guideline. And, you know, that's what we've been able to execute over the years since 2007, since Floyd became his own boss. In Deontay's case, you know, since the belts are split up between him and Joshua, and we know why the Fury rematch didn't happen. It happened because somebody made a decision for Tyson Fury to go sign with ESPN and essentially just kind of walk away from the rematch, what was ensuing to happen, to be signed within the week of him crossing over and going over to ESPN. So there are a lot of politics that are involved with making big fights. And the fans, I just urge them to continue to be patient. Deontay, I know firsthand, wants to be the undisputed heavyweight champion. He wants all the smoke. And I feel very confident that he's able to beat any and all of the heavyweights out there. And it starts with, again, an exciting performance this Saturday night on Showtime against Dominic Brazil.
Because Floyd got to a point where he was so undisputed as a champion, he almost became bigger than the belts. That's the kind of stature that he got, and he put in that work to do that. But in your time, Leonard, have you ever heard any good ideas as far as, like, if they are split out amongst the belts, even though there are politics in that way, is there any way that you can come up with some unified way to get these guys to have to fight? Because it's only right that you got to know who the undisputed heavyweight champion of the world is, and it feels like it's never been more disputed. You have three guys that are absolutely tremendous, and we should know who the ultimate guy is, and we know that money's in play, and guys got to fight for a living and try and get all that stuff, but, you know, we should know who the ultimate undisputed heavyweight champ is.
Well, Deontay is working very feverishly to make that happen as we speak, because he wants all the belts, and he's making every effort and has been to try to accomplish that. I think after the Dominic Brazil fight, if he's fortunate to get through that fight, I think that we'll see a big fight in his very next fight, hopefully. And hopefully it'll be a unification fight. But we just have to wait and see. He has a big test ahead of him, and Dominic Brazil is no easy task in front of him, and look forward to this fight this Saturday night. We also have one of our young rising stars on the card, Juan Heraldez, who will be opening the broadcast. He'll be taking on former world champion Argenis Mendez, which will be a very, very entertaining bout. So from top to bottom, this is a super card, and we're just very excited to be part of the card.
With so many different options, you know, and you talk about Tyson Fury going to ESPN, does it make it more difficult to get the fights that people want to see?
Most definitely. And I blame Bob Arum for that. They intentionally went out and took the rug right underneath the fight. Making a business move to support their programming over there at ESPN. But it is what it is. It's part of the business. And again, Deontay was ready to go with the rematch, which was a very, very exciting,
yes,
entertaining fight. And the fans were really looking forward to the rematch. But we have to see what happens down the line. He went off and he's doing his own thing, and Deontay is staying busy and fighting the biggest fights and best fights that are in front of him. And I applaud him for that because, again, he's making every effort to try to fight these guys, and these guys are just kind of going in their own direction for whatever reason.
Yeah, the right hand. That's the reason.
Being around Deontay in the lead-up to this, Leonard, is there any concern? We saw last week, you know, people thought Jared Hurd was going to go right through Julian Williams, and J-Rock took his belt from him, and you always think you know how things are going to play out. Is there any thought like Deontay might have a slip-up here and Dominic can kind of shake things up?
Well, I didn't think that about the Jared Hurd fight because I understand the sport, and you know, I knew what type of fighter Julian Williams was, and I expected that to happen. In this particular case, anything can happen in these fights, especially heavyweight. You know, both of these guys are you know, well over 200 pounds, and both can punch. You know, with Deontay being the bigger puncher, and probably the biggest puncher in the entire sport. But anything can happen. That's why we watch the fight. So urging all the fans to tune in this Saturday night, 9 p.m. Eastern time, 6 p.m. Pacific time on Showtime. We have an exciting card from top to bottom. And also we'll be fighting on the card will be Gary Russell Jr., a very, very exciting young fighter out there, tremendous speed and talent. He'll be taking on Kiko Martinez, and will be the co-feature of the card. Again, top to bottom, this is a very exciting, entertaining card for the fans.
And you guys can go to Showtime.com to get a free trial on that. Check out Wilder Brazil this weekend. Leonard, thanks for the time, man. Really appreciate it.
So, thank you.
All right, that's Leonard Ellaby right there. It's also a big day, Leroy. I mean, this is your birthday. I also have a special someone on the guest line right now to say some words to you, my friend.
Who?
Hey, Mr. Horde.
What's happening?
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Yeah, my handsome husband.
What? How did you pull
this off? I wish you a very, very, very happy birthday. I have magical skills. I am.
She infiltrated.
The maven of sneakiness.
Yes. Getting ready for this wedding.
Yeah, this
getting ready.
The infamous wedding. I've heard that you're being quite the wedding planner.
Oh, I am. Yeah, you know, I might get a side gig here. Yeah.
Very good. Very good. Any big plans for Leroy for today?
His mother-in-law is going to cook for him, and his daughter's making him his favorite cake, the German chocolate.
German chocolate.
All right. How about that, Leroy?
Guess what I just finished eating? Red velvet cupcakes.
Naturally.
Yep.
I had
to. You covered all of your ethnic cakes for one day.
Jeez. All right, Frenchie.
All right. Take care and happy birthday.
Thanks.
Bye.
All right. Well done. Well done, Robbie.
See why we get along?
Yep.
Ethnic cakes. That's where she goes. Ethnic cakes.
Let's get the headlines.
This is WAXYAM South Miami and WSFSFM HD2 Miramar, a radio.com sports station.
How are we going to transition into that? I mean, Raptors and Bucks are playing tonight. We have the coverage, but
looking forward to the series, man.
Yeah, like, it's a real series.
These two guys are
a lot of defense in this series going down. Kawhi against Greek Freak.
I know, man. It's going to be this one. I feel like I'm a little bit more pumped up as far as just the head-to-head of these two guys as superstars. Western Conference is interesting because of the whole when is Durant coming back. And, you know, like, look, I don't want to discount the Blazers. They didn't play well yesterday. They kind of were hanging in there tough. And now you got Angry Stotts. We can't discount Angry Stotts.
Well, he can't play.
Nah, I mean,
he can
game plan.
It seemed like they burned a boatload of energy to keep it close for no, and but look, man, they were getting all the second chance points, the second chance opportunities, all the offensive rebounds. They couldn't put the ball in the basket.
Yep.
So, you know, hopefully those things will change to some extent. But yeah, man, you're gonna have to slow down Steph. Like my thing is this. If there's one person you have to take out, it's not Steph and it's not Clay. You take out Draymond and you have a chance to win because he does more than just score.
Yeah, he's there to slow down your best
guy. Right.
He's going to be facilitating.
Right.
He's going to get things out running.
Yes.
But man, Steph looks like a
I mean,
duck
he's throwing
water,
it
man.
Up. Any, he looks so happy.
Yeah.
Like, look, I'm sure him. And
I don't think they hate each other.
No,
cool.
That's what I'm getting ready to say.
They're cool.
Like, I think they're cool and they enjoy playing with each other. However, Steph certainly looks like the old Steph.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. What else you got, Robbie?
Oh, by the way, I probably shouldn't bring this up, but Spider Watch continues tonight.
Yeah, I didn't watch last night. I got to watch Tommy Hutton's in the booth.
He's on the booth again today. Yeah, same crew as yesterday.
I'll watch a little of that. But if they leave, I'm going immediately to the new HBO Muhammad Ali documentary.
I was about to say, I mean, you got time to kill before the Eastern Conference final starts. But
yeah,
still.
I don't know. Robbie, this is bad, man.
Look, let's just put it this way. I'm just preparing you folks. They're probably not going to score another run the rest of the week. And I looked at the calendar. They're not going to get a win until maybe May 26th, which is 11 days from now. There's the next chance they get it the win because they lost. They lost to Caleb Wiff start yesterday.
No, man. It was his first loss of the season. He's still striking out eight. He gives up a couple of runs. I mean, I know he didn't go that deep. Like, he went into the sixth.
Yeah, the Rays are fouling off pitches left and right.
But, like, come on, man. Like, this team has got – they got no bats, and I don't know when reinforcements are coming. I don't know when we can look at this and say it's going to get better, but they're 10 and 30. 10 and 30.
The Mets will be in here for this weekend.
It's the second week of May. It is.
The spider watch is real.
It is rough.
Will they get to 20 wins? That's a major question. But yeah, but the Rays are starting an opener. Ryan Stanek and Jose Ureña going for the fish. Also in headlines, I know this is a headline Beast would say. The ACC Network, they've already announced that the Hurricanes, this is according to Barry Jackson, we know about the first game against Florida, when it's going to be 7 p.m. that August 24th. But week two against North Carolina, that'll be an 8 p.m. game on the ACC Network. And week three, when the Canes play Bethune-Cookman, their home opener, 4 o'clock, also on the brand-new ACC Network. I wonder if Mark Richt will be in the booth for any of those games.
Robbie, they are so last in the National League in hitting.
Yes.
It's not even close.
It's so last. What's their batting average?
They're like 219. They're under 220 as a team.
And where's the team next to them?
I think that they're dead last in runs, and the next worst has 34 more runs scored than they do, which
Jesus.
Is Detroit.
Unbelievable, this team. No sticks.
Hey, well, Monty Harrison cracked the top 100 prospects.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
All right, that's exciting.
Well, I assume because some people graduated from the rankings, they've played too many games or they've had too many at-bats, that they automatically kick you out of the list. You're not a prospect anymore. I'm assuming that's what happened.
Marlins are a cool minus 95 on the season.
That's it?
Minus 95. That's it?
It feels like it's more.
The second worst team is minus 75.
It's gonna get worse. If they score.
They're minus what now?
They're minus 95 in run differential.
And the team closest to
them. And the team's second closest to them is minus 75, the Orioles, last year's worst team.
Man, so they won up the worst?
Not only Leroy, they got 10 wins. The next worst is the Orioles with 14, who have scored. I mean, their run differential is 20 runs better. They're so bad at scoring.
So how far are they from the top? What's the top run differential?
The top run differential right now looks like the Astros at plus 83.
170 runs in 40 games.
Oh, my God.
Right now, we could go undefeated for May if we had that run differential.
Oh, man. It's bad, man.
Yeah, it's going to get worse, folks. We're brewing for the storm. This spider watch is no joke, and I think it's starting to catch on now.
You think Jeets is even watching, or you think like he's just
no.
Like, bleep this. Let's go golf. I'll wait for these prospects.
Denbo, let's go hit the links in Jupiter.
Oh, no, Denbo watches. Denbo's, oh, I'm sitting it out.
Oh, he's at that Clint single A affiliate that he got. Nah, no dogs here.
I got to go to Iowa. You know what I hate? Hey, Jeets, you know what I was thinking about? Let's get rid of these fish behind the behind home plate. What do we got these fish for? Get this aquarium the hell out of here. All of a sudden, Denbo gets caught poisoning the aquarium.
Like, I mean, we're trying to enjoy it.
No, we're not.
But I got to tell you.
Sixto Sanchez, 6 shutout innings yesterday, moving up to Jacksonville for Double-A.
All right.
We're just
something.
I know, we're just reaching for bright spots here. I understand.
Jose Alfaro's been slumping.
Yeah,
a little
he's on
bit
the slump.
Too.
He's... Yeah. At least Real Muto's not doing that great. If you want to looking for straws here.
All right. Well.
Real Muto's at Philadelphia, this cheap ballpark, and he hasn't really done anything yet. I'm sure it's coming soon. I bet he's going to hit 30 home runs, but as for now, he's not doing anything yet.
Jesus. Minus 95.
Whew. I think they've had one game over the past 2 weeks where they scored more than 2 runs, and that was last Monday. So it's
jeez.
Like,
yeah.
Terrible.
Yeah, they're going on 6 straight games of 2 runs or less. And guess what, guys? They're not scoring 2 runs tonight. So if you see that over-under for Marlins team runs set at 2.5, like it's been all week, take the under.
Very
last
easy
time
money.
You said take the under with the Marlins, it was 100 runs scored.
No, what was that?
No, he's learned his lesson. He doesn't go Saturdays anymore.
Saturdays
are the one lone fluke. You got to stay away. Never know when a Saturday night's all right. Right, Robbie?
That's right. They had that band out there, early start times. And by the way, the pitching hasn't been that good either outside of Caleb Smith.
No.
High ERAs.
No, it hasn't been.
What are you guys doing?
Team stinks.
We're pointing out facts. This is all
why
science.
Why are we doing Debbie Downer stuff now?
I don't know. He brought it up. Where's our trombone? Oh, man. Got a chance to go down to the American Airlines Arena yesterday for the Heat draft lottery watch party. Got a chance to talk with Bam Adebayo for a few minutes. Some cool things coming out of that conversation. We'll have that for you next. Welcome back, everybody. It's Tobin and Leroy here with you. It's a Leroy birthday.
Yep.
A birthday show. Shout out to Mrs. Horde for calling in, wishing Leroy a happy birthday.
Oh, yeah. She swore she would never do that, by the way. Never get on radio. Because she's like...
Sent out the bad signal to us this morning.
Yeah. She's comfortable, like, with us.
Yeah.
Like, even our shenanigans.
Yep. Well, yeah. I'm aware.
Yeah.
I'm aware. The speedo jump.
She's not... Yeah, remember she shaved Robbie's back.
Yep. I remember that, too.
So she's like... Yeah, but she's not... You can't isolate her.
Is this TV in our studio getting worse every day?
Yes! It looks like the Utah Jazz jerseys now.
Jesus. Can we get a new TV already?
No! That's the problem.
New building. It's coming, guys. That's all we ever hear is about this new building. This alleged new building. Yesterday, I went down to the arena, Leroy. I went there for the NBA draft lottery party for the Miami Heat. Got a chance to hang out on the floor. Zaslow was there. And we were we went up on stage. People were guessing ping pong balls, how many ping pong balls were in this like kid pool that they had. And one guy won a Justice Winslow autograph, so that was kind of cool. Then it was one of these things where everybody was like,
"I hope did he win a picture of him doing the layup?"
It was him dribbling. It was him dribbling. But it was funny because they had this. The atmosphere was like this. It was one of those things where everybody is just basically there with like fingers and toes crossed because you know you don't have a good chance of getting into the lottery.
But it's a Heat thing, so you're going to go.
But you're just like, please. Everybody's just like, one guy was wearing a Zion jersey. There was a guy wearing a Zion jersey. People were trying to, like, do whatever they could to get the good mojo going. Really just like, hey, maybe for once the luck can turn the Heat's way. Heat had never gone up in the lottery before. Never. Never. They've never gone up. They've only gone down or
stayed. Even when they were an expansion team, they got the 8th pick.
Ridiculous. So... hoping maybe this is the way it should break. I mean, look at these trash franchises they got up there. Cleveland. They're going to give it to Cleveland again? Thank God he didn't. I mean, good
you
Lord.
You know why they didn't win it? Because low-key story, their secret good luck charm was David Griffin's friend. Like whatever. He would always in the lottery room, and that's why they always won in the lotteries. This year, that guy is with the Pelicans. And
I thought
the
that the good luck charm was Gilbert's kid.
No, it was the guy in the lottery room. Whoever was in the lottery room representing the Cavs those years.
So they're Ellisburg.
Yes, is David Griffin's friend, and he was representing the Pelicans.
I gotta tell you, this David Griffin lives a charmed life. You get to be the GM of LeBron James, and then you go to the Pelicans, and all of a sudden, bam, a number one overall pick. And maybe we'll try.
He wanted to be in Cleveland.
He did want to be in Cleveland. That's fair.
Right,
100%.
That's not his problem.
No, it's not his problem. But I mean, it's just funny. It's funny how life works out.
Here, question. If he's in Cleveland, is LeBron still in Cleveland?
No.
Nah.
No?
Nah.
I'm just curious.
I think they wanted to do the L.A. thing. Dude, okay. LeBron, did you see how much stuff LeBron's putting out there? He's doing he's got the Muhammad Ali HBO documentary out, Space Jam. This guy wanted to be in L.A.
I mean, but, like, you're making it sound like that's consuming all of his time.
No, I just think I think he just wants to be, like, he's clearly, he wants to be a mogul. He's done a lot of basketball accomplishments.
I mean, he'll
spread his feathers a little bit.
Will he be the second billionaire?
Oh, yeah.
Well, no, while he's playing. Because Tiger has done $1 billion, and I think he's the first one to do it while he's playing. Jordan's worth more than $1 billion, but that was after he got done playing.
Jordan's even got a piece of the Marlins.
They By the way, gave him $10 million to use his name.
Did you know that the Spiders, in their last 57 games, they won 3 games?
Play the 57. Horn. Play the horn. Please.
Jesus. Oh, my God. Robbie just sent me a Wikipedia. Spider Watch has made Wikipedia.
Yeah, so Texter pointed out. I didn't believe him, and then I went and looked.
And it says, Leroy, under the Cleveland Spiders, the 1962 Mets, 40-120, the 2003 Tigers, 43-119. own the modern records in their respective leagues for most losses, thus drawing frequent comparisons to the 1899 Spiders for futility. Currently, the 2019 Miami Marlins at 10-30 are drawing comparisons to the 1898 Cleveland Spiders.
Dude, think about this.
I didn't put that in there, I swear.
You went 120 years back to compare your current baseball team to another team. Project 20 years.
Archaic times.
Project Wolverine. Right.
First of all, Project Spider. There was no black people on those teams.
Yep.
Of course they sucked.
But everyone is the same.
Well, in fairness, the guy you made fun of on this team the most is Curtis Granderson.
He stepped on his glove trying to get a fly ball.
Whatever, man.
He stuck his glove down and stepped on it and face planted right in front of us.
Yep. You were warning us, Leroy. We didn't believe you.
Doesn't Curtis Granderson lead this team in home runs?
But he's also like
with three?
It bats like 170. Leading off.
Does anybody have a batting average of over 300?
By the way, Neil Walker's sneaky like a 295, although his are empty hits. He's like Blake Bortles. Nobody's on base. He's getting a hit. Key situation, multiple men on base, strikes out every time.
Alfaro's past the Grandy Man. The Grandy Man has four, but the Grandy Man is hitting 176. Is anybody hitting 300 on this team, Leroy?
Walker's probably the closest.
The answer's no. Walker's hitting 295.
And those are empty hits.
Harold Ramirez is 286. He's been on the team for 3 days.
Yeah, he's played two games.
Martin Prado.
Wow, that's usually when your batting average is like 400.
Martin Prado is hitting 276. They didn't want him here this year.
He only plays against lefties.
You got our dude, John Birdie.
Birdie!
He's hitting 240. You got Miguel Rojas, our dude. He's hitting 238. You have Starlin Castro hitting a cool 232. The groundskeeper's hitting 230.
Oh.
Yeah. This is bad times, man. I don't have to tell you. Bad times.
By the way, the Dean machine's hitting like 390 in AAA. They can.
Yeah, Mean Dean must have said something to Denbo, man. What's the deal?
I can't believe he got rid of those dogs.
Yeah, did Mean Dean, like, did he bring like a little toy poodle to the clubhouse or something like that? Why is he not up with the club?
Yeah, remember when Adam LaRoche of the White Sox brought his kid to the clubhouse and then he got kicked off and then he retired? Maybe Dean brought a dog into the clubhouse.
Something seems suspect there. That's a little bit weird if you ask me. All right, so yesterday, Leroy, I got the opportunity at the Miami Heat draft party to speak with Bam Adebayo, our guy, Kemp Jordan. Somebody this morning had texted in. I thought it was a fair point that LeBron has Brian Windhorst, but Bam Adebayo has Brendan Tobin.
Until something catches your eye.
No, 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 no.
Look at me. You have never said you would trade Bam. We got the tape.
I love him, man. So Bam, we talked a lot about. We didn't talk much draft stuff, although he did give us some guys that you guys should look for, because I didn't think the Heat were going to end up with one of the top picks at that point. It felt like the mojo was starting to wear off. But let you know what he's going to be working on this summer. Really cool conversation. Here is Heat big man Bam Adebayo.
We are in the American Airlines Arena. It is draft lottery night. And we have the pleasure of being joined by former Heat first-round pick Bam Adebayo. Bam, thanks for the time, man. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on.
Does this lottery stuff just all brush aside you? Because you're number 14, and you're already flourishing at the end of this year. You got a lot of things going for yourself. Like, this stuff must be like, what is this night? This doesn't matter.
No, this is one of those nights that just, it's like a build up to draft night. So, you know, these nights are like the squeamish feelings night, like the I don't know, the what ifs. This is that kind of night.
For you, when you're talking about coming into the league, and you know this is an organization that's tough because they're always going for the win, they're always trying to do things and get to the playoffs year in and year out. Was it tough as a rookie because you know you kind of got to fit into a role, and that blossoming may come a little bit later because you got to do things little by little?
Yeah, it was in the beginning of the year. It was my first year getting where I fit in, and taking that approach, soaking in all the knowledge, and then, you know, applying it on the court, I feel like that got me more minutes. And coach started to believe in me and started giving me more minutes. And then after that, my second year, You know, we already built a little bit of trust, and now I think we built even more. And, you know, I've started flourishing. Like you said, I flourished close to the end of the year, and, you know, I'm looking to keep that flourish going towards my third year.
I've had a lot of people I interviewed this year, you know, Alonzo Mourning, Chris Bosh, Dwayne Wade, and every time I mention your name, they're talking about, man, sky's the limit for you. They really don't want to put any ceiling on you. When you get a chance to be with those guys and interact with them, what do you try and take from them, and what does it mean to know that they hold you in such high regard?
Honestly, when I talk to guys like Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh, we don't usually talk about basketball, you know, because we play it so much, you know, we watch so much of it. It's kind of, we just have regular conversations. And, you know, just to Chris Bosh's situation, you know, he came in here the other day, he watched film with me, and, you know, that was great for me because he wanted to watch film with me. And I'm thinking, you know, in the summer, I'm like, everybody's taking time off. Nobody really wants to, like, touch basketball. Everybody wants to be with their family. But he took the time out to come, you know, during my workout in the morning and watch film with me. And, you know, I can't thank him enough. And just listening to those guys and how they think is just a different level of basketball IQ. Like, it's to the highest. Like, if you had a peak, they're up there. Like, they're if not that, they're pretty close.
If you, I know that you've worked with like Rasheed Wallace in past summers. Like, if you had a dream guy, people always talk about, like, oh, I got a chance to work out with Kobe. I got a chance. Every big man wants to go work out with Hakeem. That's like a token thing. They're like, oh, I got my workout with Hakeem. Like, if there was a dream guy you got to work out with this summer that's maybe outside the Heat organization or as a guy you looked up to, who would be the guy that you would love to work out with and pick their brain?
It would definitely be Kobe Bryant, and then it would be Kevin Garnett.
Really?
Just because they're two fierce competitors. And that just says a lot about a person. Like, they're fierce competitors. They don't care, like, about nothing but winning. And when you have somebody like that, and you listen to them, they're obsessed. They're, like, really obsessed with their craft. They're obsessed with how do they make their team better, you know, learning the other team's plays. And those two guys would be, you know, the two guys that during the offseason I could work out with just to pick their brain.
I'm sure your confidence blew up as the year went on because of how much more you got to do and how much, you know, you got to showcase your skill set. So going into this offseason, does the motivation get bigger? Do you feel good like you officially belong? And what is the thing that you really want to polish off going into next year?
I want to keep this motivation going. So, you know, I don't want to get complacent, and I'm not a complacent person. So I'm always looking to build my brand, get better, and, you know, try to help this team win more games than we did last year. And I feel like that's what I'm here to do. I feel like that's what all of us get paid to do. So, you know, it's our job to come out there, play together, and get wins.
So we're taping this before the lottery goes down. So I don't know where you guys are going to end up, but is there a certain guy that's maybe caught your eye? Like, we know the big names, Zion and John Morant. Is there a certain guy that you've kept an eye on this year in college basketball that maybe some people don't know about that you say, like, yeah, you know, that might be a good addition as well? Like, maybe someone from Kentucky or anybody like that?
I have three. Keldon Johnson, P.J. Washington, and Tyler Hero.
That's understandable, man. Bam, appreciate the time, man. Enjoy your offseason. Looking forward to another year, and all the best.
I appreciate that, man.
Shout out to the great Kemp Jordan. Love Bam. Appreciate him spending some time with us yesterday at the arena. Definitely the coolest part of the night, seeing as the Heat had the 13th pick, and all the drama was kind of sucked out of the building as far as the Heat were concerned. Things did get funny with the Knicks not getting Zion Williamson. That's always going to be hilarious. And we can make fun of the Knicks when we come back.
The Cavs in the five at five.
That's always funny. Lakers getting up into the top four. I mean, I was super nervous when they jumped up. I thought they were getting number one for sure. I thought that's, I'm like, ah, oh, here we go. Leak's pulling out all the stops. LeBron's cashing in his chips. He's going to be like, Silver, it's time for Bron to cash in that favor. Give me Zion. We're back after this.
Dana, what are your impressions of the South Florida crowd tonight? It's been a while since you guys have been here.
I've been accused of using my sexy voice to Bam.
Sexy voice!
I've been accused.
Sexy voice!
People are saying that my Dana White voice and my Bam voice are very similar.
Oh my God.
That I sound very turned on.
turned on.
Dana.
Dana.
But you know, when we go to Vegas, you don't, that's not, you got it, like, because first of all, most of those guys get fired up.
Yeah.
So you can't, like, you can't use sexy voice. And there's a lot of testosterone in that building.
Depends. Depends. If I get to talk to Freddie Roach, because we're probably going to be going to Vegas in July for the Pacquiao fight. Freddie Roach, I've always wanted to talk to Freddie Roach.
Really?
Never gotten to talk to him. Never. I've talked to basically everybody in the sport. He's like the one guy.
Really?
Never gotten to talk
to him. Even we've talked to him.
I know back in the day you guys did, but I never got to talk to him.
Yeah.
If I definitely hit him with the
You know who my favorite is.
Oh, you love Atlas.
Yes. Yes.
Fireman!
Hey, every time we interview Atlas, I think we're going to get in a fight.
Did I get a little sexy with Bam? Maybe. But is it justified? Yes.
Bam Adebayo. Bam, thanks for the time, man. Really appreciate it.
No, that's
Dan,
not...
what are your impressions of the South Florida crowd tonight?
No,
it's been a while since you guys have been
here.
Not the
same. Not the same. You went in like you really wanted to get your point across, you know, and you kind of, Bam, you just wanted to have fun. You were excited to talk to Bam. But with Dana, you wanted to be like the voice.
I'm so excited that he's working out with Chris Bosh. I'm like unreasonably excited about
it. Come on, first of all, you've seen it in his game.
Yeah.
Like, you've seen him handle the ball. You've seen him take jumpers, but a lot of the stuff they ask him to do is that, you know, pick and handoff and stuff like that and roll to the rim because he is a jumper. He's got mad hops. The problem is, with all those hops, he's not as much of a shot blocker as you would think.
No, I think he's better defending out on the wing almost than he is at the post.
Then that's like, why he's got to be the four.
Yeah.
And if you're going to be the four for the Heat, guess what you got to do?
Shoot
the three.
You got to be able to shoot. You got to be able to stroke it.
That's correct.
You got to be able to stroke it, man.
He's working on it.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. But man, he has such quick feet. Like, they really can't put him out there on anybody.
And by the way, PJ Washington, who Bam mentioned, no joke. Old school, low post player. Can step out, hit the mid-range jumper. I mean, I know it's an antiquated game, but he's really good.
Look, I think big man is kind of like running back. All the people that have one are happy, and all the people that don't swear they can do without it.
Yeah. Gase.
Minus one.
Minus one.
He's got one now, so he's not going to
go didn't want him.
The running back. One doesn't want.
Doesn't matter.
He's going to end up trading.
Doesn't matter.
He's going to end up trading him for a fourth.
If you can get a top five guy at the position, I don't care what position it is.
100% what's going to happen is going to trade him for a fourth round pick next year and then blame all the cap hell on the former GM that he ousted.
See you think now. He ousted him?
Yeah, man,
like,
I do.
Like, you are willing to go out on a limb and blame Adam Gase more than the dysfunction of the Jets in general.
Who benefited the most by this GM's ouster?
Gase. The power is in his hands now.
He has that. He could convince an owner after 3 months to do that. Y'all crazy.
Nope.
Y'all crazy. This don't make no sense to me.
How? Because people are good at this. If you're charming enough, if you're able to speak to their
Clearly
to their
he's
weaknesses.
Not charming. Because one of the nicest men in the world fired him.
All right, because I know, but like sometimes you can be a chameleon. You could change your ways just enough when you sneak in here. We see it every day. We see it every day. It sits across from us. That man who sits in that chair who's not here today, he is a chameleon.
Oh, yeah.
He puts a first impression on any suit that walks through there. Oh, hello, Mr. Intercom. Hello. And then as soon as you really need him, send an email. Send an email. Board ops fault. Producer's fault. This guy's fault. Sales fault. He is Adam Gase.
Just bigger.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm telling you. That's that chameleon work. You put in that good first impression. You know what they say? Can't make a first impression twice. He makes that good first impression, so he suckers you in, and then he stabs you right in the back.
Somebody said, would you be upset if Bam became Blake Griffin?
No.
Okay. Blake Griffin. Is he healthy?
We're not talking about that, Robbie. There you go. Horn it. Horn, just play the horn. Jeez.
Yeah, the question has to be asked.
I mean, I would be, yes, I would be very upset if he became the next
Mr.
46.
No, we're not talking about that.
No, skill set wise, no. Why would I be upset about that?
All right.
I'd be upset about that. I think people would be upset if Zion became that. They're like, oh, Blake Griffin.
I mean, he came with, can he really shoot? We don't know. That's things you gotta work on. It's not terrible. He's 19, man.
Yeah, you don't know yet.
Like, come on. The one thing that is going to translate is that athletic ability and that work ethic. The guy is, he hustles. He's all over the place. That's not going to change. Okay? The skill set, though, as far as shooting the ball, maybe getting some range, because basically he's more athletic Charles Barkley.
I wonder if they are really going to try this thing out with Anthony Davis, though. Like, are they going to tell him, like, listen, man, sorry, convince us that you don't want to be here playing next to this guy. Or if they are going to just jump on it and go all young.
They have Drew Holiday.
Yep.
They have
Julius Randle.
They have Zion. And then they have AD. Come on, man. You telling me that I can't get it done?
I think that's a good team, man, but he doesn't want to be there.
Because they couldn't win with AD and Boogie.
They were saying like right after yesterday, like, well, let's see if this convinces AD. And then all of a sudden, Shams is like, nah, he wants to be out.
Shams came out with
Shams
it right
came
after.
In hot. Shams
Wait,
was like, nope.
We haven't even got to the draft yet. They already shot it down?
Yeah, he's like, oh, okay, cool. Nah, never mind. Wow. Oh, you guys thought that was going to save you? It's crazy, though. Like, they had to be so furious because Knicks and Lakers both had to think, oh, we got this number one pick. We're going to get Anthony Davis because we're going to trade Zion to the Pelicans. It's done. So he probably was going to end up on the Pelicans no matter what. Now they're in this weird position where they have Zion, or they're going to have Zion, and they have Anthony Davis, and those teams are both like, damn.
Like, boxed in.
We don't really know what to do here. Like, do the Pelicans want the number three or number four pick? They got the guy they want.
I can't understand. Well, if you're a fan of a team, why are you cheering for your team to be just off? Because it didn't pay off.
The new lottery system.
It didn't pay off because all the Knicks fans were like, at least we're going to get Zion. Oops, my bad.
Somebody texting Gates' crazy eyes are going to be a problem when he's trying to focus a player on the draft board.
You guys are taking the wrong angle. What if Zion, the first pick, is trade bait? No.
Not anymore.
He's not going to be trade bait. Because
there's no way they're trading him. There's
because
no way.
You'll get more for Anthony Davis than you will for Zion.
Well, this has to be said, though. Like, did you see that there was a video going around yesterday of the sales staff at the Pelicans? They were going bananas when they got Zion.
You know why? Because
their job got easier.
Because nobody wants to work hard.
Correct.
Right. And they had a very low percent chance of getting Zion. They were better than the Heat, but they were still 6%.
Imagine being a ticket sales guy and your job just got, oh, we have to sell Zion. Awesome. Be like trying to sell tickets for the big three.
Here's the other thing. Imagine how that sales office is going to look when they train him.
Oh, man. Yeah. Well, that's kind of where it went to. Like, okay, we're going to end up trading this for Lonzo Ball. Like, cool. What are we selling? LeVar Ball?
Why would you trade him for Lonzo?
I'm talking about Anthony Davis.
Okay.
That's what your reality was. You're going to trade this guy for, like, you know, some young pieces in the pick. But now you have the most marketable rookie in the league is coming to your team.
Right.
Like, tickets are going to be easy to sell.
What if you trade Zion for LeBron?
No, you can't.
No, no way.
No way. No way.
Nope.
Why would you do that?
I got to tell you. I think Anthony Davis has dug himself a bit of a hole here where he can't take it back. Nothing against. He just can't take
like
it back.
Like, the fans won't take him back.
No, the fans don't care. You win. Like, you like.
So who can't take it back?
He can't take, I really want to be out of here.
Yeah.
He's just. But the way that whole season played out.
Well, I feel like he can because he's that talented that the team will be like, no, man, we want you to stay. Like, come on. Let's make this thing work out.
Right.
But I feel like he probably thinks, nah, I've gone too far. I can't go back on what I said now. But I think if they really wanted to talk him into it, you know, they're like, come on, man, we're gonna offer you more money than anybody can.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we're gonna let that would be my big leverage play. Be like, listen, you get to play with the young buck. Otherwise, we're going to let you walk in free agency. You don't make the max, the super max.
You know why there are a lot of teams and people that there's something they didn't take into account, right?
Yeah.
What they couldn't take into account was that these players don't care about Supermax if it means they can go win a championship. A lot of guys have forfeited.
I get you, but the thing is though, is that his being in the position they're in right now, are they in a bad position? Say Zion turns into what people think he's going to turn into, and you're Anthony Davis. That duo, you tell me that's not eventually good enough to win a championship within 2 years or 3 years if Zion were to be what people think he could be?
Look, he's Charles Barkley.
With Anthony Davis, though.
Huh?
But if you were to side-by-side with Anthony Davis, like imagine if Barkley had Anthony Davis.
I mean, didn't he have Akeem?
Yeah, he did. He was pretty good. Boxed in.
You've been boxed in.
Why can't you have the original Anthony Davis? Jeez.
Texter writes in, can we call it a day on Alonzo Mourning repping us at the lottery? Dude is no fun and terrible luck. Enough is enough. I tell you what, Texter.
You tell him.
You tell him.
He is a fun guy, though. Maybe you guys can have drinks.
We'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.